Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I was in grade school, one of my favorite books was Frances Hodgson Burnett's A Little Princess. As I know that sounds strange, but it was the story of an orphan, Sarah Crewe, who goes from riches to rags, from the little princess of the boarding school who has everything to the coal-blackened scullery maid. For a nine-year-old, it's a big book. The story feels like it has hundreds of chapters. It actually only has 19, but when you're nine and there's like 300 pages, you just feel like it's going on and on. And I pack my worn copy of this book everywhere. I snagged it from the bookmobile's discard pile. In the car or in the church basement during a potluck, the words dance before me. At times, the tale plods dull. Other times, the story races through my imagination, especially the stories about the Indian servant bringing the gifts to the child through the window at night. Page after page, then, I wade through the highs and the lows, the boring descriptions of scenery, and the gripping betrayals. And yet, always the story moves forward, chapter by chapter. Sarah pretending to be a weeping girl's mother to help the little child cope with the death of her mother. Sarah dealing with the cruel spinster Miss Minchin, banishing her to the attic. A boy giving Sarah a coin which she spends on fresh bread on the London streets, only to turn around and give all but a single portion of the bread to the beggar outside of the bakery. And for most of the book, my nine-year-old heart yearns and aches for Sarah Crewe. What does all this mean? How do all these disparate episodes and portions link together? The story is incomplete. There's a beginning, there's a middle, but there's no end. There's no goal to tie the paragraphs into a whole. No goal, that is, until the final chapter. The final chapter when Sarah's rags turn back to riches. Her father, it turns out, did not die penniless in India. She is heir to a vast fortune. And in a twist, her new guardian, her father's workmate, lives next door. The very man whose Indian servant has been sneaking through the window at night to leave gifts in her attic room. Poor little girl, let's help her out. At the end of the book, all the loose ends come together. And my nine-year-old heart rests. Ah, that's what it all means. That's what how all these stories, these scenes fit together. For the author of Hebrews in our epistle reading this Christmas morning, the life of Israel is like a book with hundreds of chapters. It's not just like a book that feels like hundreds of chapters. It actually is a book with hundreds of chapters. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, writes the author of Hebrews. On each page, God reveals himself. The words dance with divine light. The paragraphs follow one after another. At times, plodding dull. I mean, I know most people don't like Leviticus. I like it, but most people don't. And at other times, racing through the imagination, the stories of David and Goliath and others. But always the story moves forward, chapter by chapter. Adam picking at the fig stuck in his teeth. The woman you gave me made me do it. Sarah snorting in the tent. A child at my age? Jacob wailing animal yelps over Joseph's torn coat. My son! Moses crouching behind a rock. Let me see your glory, God. And Jeremiah shouting prophecies out of a mud pit. Surrender to Babylon! And yet the story is incomplete. It's a riches to rags tale, the fall of Israel. There's a beginning and there's a middle, but there's no end. There's no final chapter to tie the paragraphs together. There's no, that's what it all means. That's how all of these stories fit together. And in this way, the story of Israel resembles our own stories. Our lives are like a book with hundreds of chapters. Page after page, we wade through highs and lows, boring descriptions of scenery and gripping betrayals. We pick fruit out of our teeth and we blame other people for our sins. We wail animal yelps over our dead. We crouch behind rocks, begging for a glimpse of God. Riches to rags. We know that it all must mean something. There is a beginning and a middle, but no apparent goal. Word after word, God reveals himself, and the syllables dance with divine life in our lives, and yet all of these various fragments seem random, at times even disconnected. There's no final chapter to pull the paragraphs together. There's no, that's what it all means. As the spiritual theologian Eugene Peterson puts it, whatever our life's specifics, it will echo in a remarkable way the experience of the men to whom God spoke in many and various ways by the prophets. Our life is a book with hundreds of chapters, but no final chapter to gather up the loose ends and to grant them meaning. But this Christmas morning, God publishes the final chapter of Israel's story, of our story. The holy author gathers up all of the loose ends and makes sense of the ups and downs, the sins, the delights, the riches to rags, the Indian serpent, I keep saying that, the Indian servant sneaking into the attic room and depositing gifts. In some ways, the final chapter is surprisingly ordinary. A girl pregnant out of wedlock, a fiancé grinding his teeth in the night, a donkey plodding to small town Galilee, a midwife clucking at the menfolk. But then, strange bits begin to illuminate the ordinary paragraphs. Cherubic paragraphs and flames of fire scarring the night sky with wonder. Holy winds whispering joy to men smelling of sheep dung. And finally, all of the chapter threads coming together in a mewling newborn with lopsided head and tiny toes. Here is the meaning of it all. A baby who binds the book of the universe together. Invisible and visible. A prayer bumping up against brass skies. A smile over coffee. A flat tire. This firstborn son ties together all of these loose ends. In Jesus, God writes the final chapter. Here is God's last word to explain himself, to explain the cosmos, and to explain our lives. God is love. God comes near to us in Jesus Christ. God takes on our frailty to bring us into his eternity. Riches to rags, rags to riches. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. This final chapter was not our idea. We didn't author its strange reversal, riches to rags and then back from rags to riches. It is not of blood nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. The final chapter of Israel's story, the final chapter of our story, is Jesus Christ. Jesus making us heirs of a vast fortune. We are not penniless orphans anymore. We are co-heirs with Christ. When your life doesn't make sense, when you are living a riches to rags moment, go back to Christmas. Ponder Jesus, the last chapter of Israel's story, the last chapter of your story. Read it again and again, and eventually you will find yourself saying, "Ah, that's what it all means. Jesus." For on this Christmas day, He is our good news. He is our gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.